Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. To Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. This is your show host, Randy Fine. So I wear many hats in my life, and as the host of the show, that's one hat. I'm an author. I do many things. But what you may or may not know is that my husband and I own two massage envies in South Florida. And so I got my first real introduction to essential oils by owning Massage Envy, because we're in partnership with a company called Rare Essence, and we use aromatherapy in our massages and our facials and so many different things that we do. And so I've gotten a great exposure to it, and I really love it. But I have to admit that I don't know all there is to know about it, because it is very... there's so much involved in the art of essential oils. And today we have an expert with us. Her name is Dr. Kak Young, and she's formerly a producer in the television industry. She holds a doctorate degree in clinical hypnotherapy, natural healing, naturopathic medicine, and she runs a private practice where she consults with people who want to change their lifestyle and prolong their lives, helping with weight loss, smoking cessation, addictions, physical conditions, and chronic pain. And today she's here to talk about her gorgeous book, The Healing Art of Essential Oils, A Guide to 50 Oils for Remedy, Ritual, and Everyday Use. Oh, this book is absolutely beautiful and just something everyone would be interested in. So let me introduce her to you so we can get started and find out what she has to say about these wonderful oils. Good morning, Kak. How are you?
Good morning, Randy. I'm just wonderful, and thank you again for having me on your show and allowing me to talk to your audience.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This is fun. This is really fun. So can you tell us what essential oils are?
What essential oils? Yes. They are very potent and powerful essences that have been distilled extracted, removed in some way from a plant. And they are, and depending on what the plant is, dictates how they will be distilled, if you will. Some are cold pressed, like you would an olive, so that you get the oils out directly out of them, like the citruses. They are cold pressed, and some of them are extracted by using a a chemical compound called concrete, which brings that essence out of the plant. And it depends on and the blossoms are done through pieces of glass. They're pressed together, and then that a product is scraped off the glass. So that's why it would take 50,000 roses, for example, to make an ounce of essential rose oil.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I know. It's just amazing. And people say, well, gee, why is that $350 for an ounce? Well, because it's 50,000 little roses who gave their life for you. So that's one of them. And some of the more delicate blossoms, like the tuberose and the jasmines, the same process is at stake. And so they're cold, they're pressed between glass. But what you end up with is some of the essential oils are bark, some of them are seeds, some of them are plants. They use the leaves, they use the blossoms. So whatever grows above the ground and roots, of course, below the ground, that can be pressed or expelled and put into a bottle for you. And each of those plants, as we know from just being on this planet, each plant has different characteristics for healing. And what I think is, and I use the word magic not in terms of a rabbit out of a hat kind of magic, but the magic of the universe. What is magical about the essential oils, Randy, is the fact that they are already pre-programmed as a plant to heal certain things in the body. So some of them are astringent, some of them are hermetic, some of them are antibiotic, some of them are antifungal, sometimes they're antitumoral. But they already come in with these DNA qualities that go to work in your body. They do not have to have a set of instructions or a manual. They already know what to do. So when you use them as an inhalation or as an application, they're already, okay, here's my job, I'm going to go into your body and do it. And besides that magical piece of them, which is, I think, just amazing in their genetic DNA to have this knowledge of healing already in that, then they also go through your body, do their job, and leave, unlike some pharmaceuticals, which stay in your body. If you've had a strep throat or a tonsillitis when you're six, you're still going to have the effects of the penicillin or the erythromycin that you took when you were six in your body at 60, because there are still traces of the pharmaceutical, whereas if you were to use an essential oil as an antibacterial or an antifungal, it would not be in your body after it has done its work, which is maximum 3 days.
Mm. Well, I mean, that's wonderful to be able to use these wonderful products, natural products, that do our body well, and then exit and leave. It's wonderful. So how do they actually work? Like, I'm looking at in Chapter 2, you talk about how they work, and some experts believe that the sense of smell plays a key role because the molecules of the aroma gain access to the amygdala, and which is part of the limbic system. What are some other theories with how they actually work and affect us health-wise?
Well, the way that the body reacts as you inhale them, which is my number one recommended way to do it, because we'll get into the bioavailability of it in a moment. But when you take a sniff, when you inhale the aroma, you are inhaling actual molecules. So I think that when we think about a scent, we don't think that there's any molecular structure to it. But there is. There are. It is a molecular composition of a chemical compound that we are actually inhaling. And so when you inhale that, your olfactory nerve system identifies the molecules as an aroma. And they identify it psychologically as either pleasant or unpleasant right away. So as the essential oil molecules are absorbed first into the cilia, the little delicate hairs in the olfactory passages, two things occur. There is an immediate effect on the brain cells and then a subsequent effect thereafter on the emotions, because the limbic system, where it settles, is the center for smell, it's the center for feelings, it is the center of emotions, and the center for memory. It is a complex system of nerves and networks in the brains, right by the edge of the cortex, which is concerned with our instincts and our mood. So it controls our basic emotions of fear, pleasure, anger, and our natural drives of hunger, sex, dominance, and nurturing. And so when the limbic system receives the input, whatever that input is, molecularly, from the olfactory system, the essential oils are absorbed physically into the brain, and that creates the psychological effect because of where we store our memories and feelings. So if you look at something like a lemon oil, if you take a little sniff of lemon oil, it will lift your spirits and it will brighten your mood, because the brain recognizes this scent as perky, as healthy, as growing outdoors, as springtime. It's very pleasant in most cases and invigorating. And when you can recall in your mind the scent of a lemon, you really don't see dark colors or feel depressed. So science has told us that scents and smells are the closest ties to memories that we have. And if you remember the In Search of Lost Time, Marcel Proust, he wrote this book based on an incident where the main character dips a madeleine, a little French cookie, into a cup of tea, and that smell transports him back into the past. Hmm. So it's the limbic system that triggers the brain, and it sends impulses and instructions to both the hypothalamus and the pituitary, which, if you remember in biology class, pretty much rules every function, memory, and hormone and process in the body. So each essential oil, as we talked about, has a different DNA, and it processes molecules for different purposes. So once the molecules latch on to these receptors, it starts to get to work. Anything from, like we talked about, antibiotic to anti-inflammatory to calmative. It's kind of like a key in a lock. All of a sudden, the essential oil goes into the brain stem, into the limbic system, and it turns and the lock is opened.
Very fascinating, very fascinating. So how do we, so we're talking about, inhalation, which you say is your favorite method. Can they also be used topically?
Yes, of course. I like to speak about Robert Tisserand's Institute, because he wrote the penultimate book on essential oil safety and dilution. And on my website, by the way, you can get a lot of these resources. I've published them for people so that they know how to manage these essential oils. So if you go to healingartofessentialoils.com, healingartofessentialoils.com, don't put the in front of it, you can go to the resources page and you will find a lot of information that Robert Tisserand generated. And it talks about dilution, and it talks about bioabsorption. And when you take something topically on the body, you are only getting about 50%, 30 to 50% of the potency across the skin into the layers of the tissue underneath the skin, and therefore into your body and bloodstream. And you also always want to dilute your essential oils. You never want to use them neat or straight from the bottle, and that includes sniffing them right out of the bottle. Don't do that. They're too potent. They are too concentrated. They are too dense. They can hurt you rather than help you if you don't dilute them first. So if you're going to apply them to the body, you're going to follow the dilution chart, which is on my website that Robert Tisserand created, and then you're going to want to use enough of it around the body. The skin is the largest organ of the body, so you want to use enough so that it gets into the skin so that it can be helpful to you. Inhalation, steam inhalation or diffuser inhalation, is a lot more efficient when it comes to the medical ability of the body to accept and inhale the molecules of the essential oils. But you have to be careful over steam that you don't burn your eyes or do something with that. So there's instructions in my book about how to do this correctly. And then the diffusing, you also want to be careful how strong you make them. I like to use a water diffuser and not an oil diffuser because you have some control, again, over the dilution of it and what you are ingesting. And that bioavailability is at 95% of the molecules. So it would go 95% of what you inhale goes into your lungs and 5% goes into your brain. So your brain then takes 5% of that product and affects your emotions and your moods and your drives and everything that we just discussed.
And we never take them internally, right?
No, you can do that if you are if you're with a medical doctor and you're with a certified aromatherapist who really is in a clinical situation, then you can. We don't know the actual purity of a lot of these essential oils, which also, you know, as a sidebar, I always say use organic or pure and nothing else. Do not use something that you pick up at, you know, at a dress shop. Or something like that. You really want to buy from someone who carries distributors who know what they're doing, who understand how these essential oils are sourced, where they're manufactured, how they're grown, and how they are processed. So you really, these are potent compounds, and we want to make sure that they're as pure as they can be, because if you ingest something that has been tainted or has toxins in it from some non-organic farming, you're ingesting those things in a highly concentrated way as well. So
wow.
I always say steer away from anything that isn't organic or pure, and also don't ingest them unless you've got some real pros there, because they can run a test on them. They have the GCMS, which is the gas chromatography mass spectrometry test on them, which tells you the purity of the actual essential oil. And, you know, you don't know where stuff comes from or if it was shipped sent over in the hold of a ship that was 200 degrees below the water. You just don't know that. So you don't know if your oil has been cooked or tainted or any of that. And that's why I kind of am on a mission to educate people as best I can about how powerful and important these essential oils are. They are not playthings.
Oh, it doesn't sound like it. So you say in your book that if you could have only one essential oil, lavender would be, that lavender is the most versatile of all them and most gentle. What does lavender do for us? I think most of us are familiar with the scent of it.
Yes. Well, it does a lot of things. It is antimicrobial. It is antibacterial. It has antifungal qualities. It's antitumoral. It's anticonvulsant. It's a relaxant. It is anti-inflammatory, and it is nervine. So it does all those things. It helps you body, mind, and soul in a really well proportioned way. It's very calming and balancing, and it also improves mental acuity. It can soothe a cut or a burn. It can treat a fungal infection, and it can do wonders for your hair. It's also a natural bug repellent, and it's a great remedy for insomnia, for motion sickness, for stress, for anxiety, for fatigue, for headaches, And it keeps moths out of your sweater drawer. So it's an all-purpose, it's an all-purpose essential oil.
No wonder. No wonder you say that if you had one, that would be the one. And, you know, in your book,
exactly,
you also...
Exactly. Yeah. It actually, on a physical level, it increases the alpha waves or the slower waves in the back of the head, and that has a relaxing effect. So people like it because it's a relaxant and an anxiety reducer. And that's helpful when you have pain, because the less anxiety you have, the more your pain motors, your pain sensors relax.
Right. Very cool. Very cool. In your book, you talk about our sun signs, our Virgo and Leo and all our planetary signs, and which oils, essential oils, are best for us. How does that work? I mean, how do you know that?
How do I know that? Well, a couple of things. I think that when we want to heal ourselves or we want to expand ourselves in some way, in some self-realization, that we look to different channels. And you could say the same thing about chakras. You could say the same thing about stones and healing crystals. You can use gems. You can use astrology. You can use the tarot. And throughout the ages, because essential oils are at least 18,000 years old, because they found traces of plants used as oils in the Dordogne region, in the caves of Lascaux in France. So when you look at the other civilizations that have come forward and used that, they have incorporated essential oils with every practice that they have had for either divination or self-realization. So in astrology, there are certain plants that are masculine, certain plants that are feminine. Culpepper certainly wrote a huge book about that. And there are certain sun signs that rule all the plants and the entire plant kingdom. So when you look at those things and you say, ah, this essential oil has qualities that will either promote the positive qualities of my sun sign, they will either assist me in getting rid of the negative qualities of my sun sign, and they will help balance those two sides so that I always have a place I can go to if I'm feeling out of balance, if I'm feeling out of whack in some way. So I list those, and I list things that you can work with, each sign, and eventually I will incorporate them as moon signs too and rising signs. But how you use them and how you balance them in your life becomes important, because it tells you two things. One, it recognizes or allows you to recognize what's happening, maybe that's out of kilter. I have all these positive things, and yet I have these two negative things that keep tripping me up. What can I do? What can I inhale? What can I put on my body that will help balance that? How can I tame the tiger? And sometimes you can do that using essential oils that will soothe, assuage, or transmute the negative things that you want or behaviors that you don't want and turn them into a positive. And how that works is that the plant kingdom also has spiritual attributes attached to the plant. So not only do they have the physical properties that we talked about, but they also have healing on the spiritual plane. That's why the essential oils are mind, body, and soul. You can use your mind to select a particular oil to do a particular purpose. You can incorporate that into a spiritual practice, and then you can allow it to heal on the physical, mental, and spiritual plane all at the same time. It's really like a drive-through where you get your entire meal in a bag and go home and enjoy it. That's what I love about them, because they're not just a one-trick pony. They have three dimensions.
So, and I guess you wrote this book so that people can, because it's such a, there's so much to know about it.
And I guess you wrote this book because you want people to be to have a resource to really understand what they're doing. And I think we all need that. So if you were to recommend five essential oils that we should have in our home, what would they be besides lavender? Lavender's one.
Because lavender, right. When I wrote the book, I wrote it in layers. I wrote it so that people would have enough to work with that would cover the gamut of their life. And it took me, you should have seen the Excel spreadsheet I had when I started out, because I took other people's ideas at the top 10, the top 20, and then I put them all in line, and I looked at their choices, and then I looked at my choices, and I went back and forth and back and forth. And it was sort of like, I don't know, probably what the majors go through when they pick the lineup for the next baseball season. They have to eliminate players. And it was very, very hard. But when I looked at it as though it's like an artist's palette, and you have the primary colors, the secondary colors, the tertiary colors, when I looked at it like that, they fell into place for me just organically, because I said, what colors would you want to start out with as an artist? And, of course, the primary palette gives you the first working colors, and from that you can mix those together and get other hues. And as you progress in your own sophistication and knowledge of essential oils, you can move into the secondary palette, which gives you even more. Now, a lot of them have the same properties, but I tried to spread them across so that you would have enough qualities to work with in the first 12. And they're affordable, too. They are ones that you can start out with, learn on, not break the bank, and then you can move into the more sophisticated essential oils and the ones that add a little this, a little that. So, long-winded answer for your question, but I would recommend that in the first five. I mean, I don't like to recommend anything other than 12, but I'll do it, Randy, because you're special and I love you. So it's it's lavender, tea tree, rosemary, lemon, bergamot, and I'd have to throw in peppermint. I'd have to go to six, because peppermint does all kinds of wonderful things. And certainly peppermint is one of my go-to things. If I need energy, if I need my brain turned on, whatever it is I need, peppermint is kind of like my go-to best friend. So I would add peppermint in there. So I would say six.
Okay. And so how long do you have to inhale them in order to get the benefits from them? Is it one sniff?
About 5 minutes. And when you do steam inhalation, if you're going to, a lot of that is done for respiratory and lung situations. You get 95% of that scent is absorbed in your lungs, 5% in your brain. So if you're going to do that, boil some water and turn the water off. Add the essential oils with a dispersant. It is very important that we use dispersants with essential oils, especially when we're going to go into the bath, when we're going to inhale it, because otherwise oil and water don't mix, so it just sits there. And in the bath, you could surprise yourself and have those essential oils travel to very delicate areas that will surprise you. And you don't want surprises when you're trying to have a nice, relaxing bath. So you want to disperse it. And you can do that with Epsom salts. You can do that with almond milk. There's a lot of things in the book I suggest that you can, a clay will disperse them too. But anyway, so you disperse your essential oils that you're going to inhale. You put them in the pot. You cover your head with a towel. You close your eyes because you don't want steam to burn your eyes. And you would inhale that over the steam pot for 3 to 5 minutes. And that's how it gets into your brain, gets into your system, and it starts to work right away. Think of it as a light ray going in to your olfactory system, hitting the brain, down into the lungs, and then traveling throughout your body as a vapor.
Hmm. Wow. So that's something I did not know. That's very interesting. But if you put it, like if you put it in a diffuser with water, does that disperse it or not?
Yes, it disperses it, but it's going out into the air, so you're not going to get, you know, you're probably going to get 20 to 30% value of that, depending on how close you are to the diffuser. Yeah.
Okay.
And people are sensitive. There's a term called sensitization. And once you have been sensitized to a compound, and it could be something as simple as lavender, it could be bergamot, it could be a lot of things. You know, some people sneeze when they're around perfumes, for example, and perfumes are, they were the first receivers of the essential oils to create the aroma. So you have to be careful how you use these because people can be sensitized to them, and once you're sensitized, you cannot change that in your life. And that would mean that anytime you're around whatever aroma you have been sensitized to, that causes an allergic reaction to you. And that could be as severe as something that would require an EpiPen or something to really stop that reaction. So you have to be careful, and you never want to diffuse essential oils around children. If you're helping a child with a cough and you're using eucalyptus or you're using rosemary or you're using tea tree or any of the decongestants, you want to be careful that you don't subject them to more than 1 or 2 minutes of this diffusion. And that's why the most powerful is the steam inhalation, because you are in a controlled area with your towel over your head, and the rest of the essential oil compounds and molecules are dissipated throughout the air. And again, you know, you want to be very careful that you know your subject and what they can and can't tolerate. The people who just crank up their diffuser and you walk into their office or you walk into their salon or studio, they're not doing anybody any favors because they don't know how that's going to react. And you don't want somebody going into anaphylactic shock in your living room. So you have to make sure that you know what you're doing and what you're handling. They are not toys. They need to have safety precautions. They need dilution. They need watching. They need to make sure that you know what you're doing. And that's why I wrote the book, because there are people out there who innocently pick up a bottle of essential oils and wipe it all over their body. They don't dilute it. They don't do that. And then they wonder why their skin burns, or they wonder why they're not feeling great. Well, too much of a good thing, you know, Randy. That's why I want people to understand that each essential oil has a personality. It has a purpose. It has something magical, spiritual, and wonderful that it can do for you. But you need to use it correctly, and you need to make sure that you're using it safely. So, you know, I wear gloves when I handle my essential oils and I'm making various blends, or I'm making cosmetic additives or what I'm doing, because I want to make sure that I'm not hurting myself in the process.
I'm learning so much from you today.
Oh,
I really am.
Thank
I mean,
you.
This is great. Oh, my gosh. It's so funny. I just, you know, I flipped the book to chapter 8. Page 117 about patchouli, and I just have to share this trivia, because a lot of people, I know myself, I cannot stand the smell of patchouli, but it takes me back to the hippie days. And you say in here that it was made famous in the 1960s as a favorite oil for the hippie generation because it masked many odors associated with street living. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes,
that's funny.
It did. And I, you know, I approach essential oils. I got to know them individually. Each time I would get one and experiment with it, I got to know them individually. And it became, for me, something like, excuse me, I have a frog in my throat here. It's like sitting across a table with a friend or with someone you've just met and having a cup of coffee and asking a lot of questions about them and their history, and you get to know them. So when you walk away from that table, you have a real connection to them because you found out about them, you've had an exchange, you've laughed, you've done. That's how I approach the essential oils and why I wrote the book. I want people to get to know them, to know a little bit more about them other than, oh, okay, you're orange. Oh, okay, you're patchouli. Oh, okay, you're lemongrass. No, no. Where do they come from? Where are they grown? What are they used for? Deep, 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 deep information and connection so that when they are put into use, they are valued. They are appreciated. We all love to be valued and appreciated. And an essential oil is not any different. It enjoys being used in the sacred manner, being used as a special initiation substance. It enjoys being made special because don't we all love that? Don't we all love to be celebrated? So as you get to know the essential oils one by one, you incorporate them not only into your mind but into your heart. And that's where the transformation really begins because our inner healer is awakened and triggered by the heart chakra and by the deep knowing inside of us as to what is best and what is needed. So these essential oils open up that, and it's a reciprocal exchange between us and the essential oils. And when we're friends and when we trust each other, miracles can happen. I have seen it. I have witnessed it. I've experienced it, and that's why I love them. But they're not to be taken, as just a mere amusement. They are serious compounds that are designed to help us have a better life, a better body, better health, and better emotional healing. So I wrote the book because I want everybody to be able to enhance their lives this way, get to know them, and become best friends with them. You know, I mean, I talk to my essential oils. I love them like little special pals. And, you know, and I just chat them up, you know, and, oh, you're going to go in and do that, and you're going to do that. Oh, what's your purpose today? Oh, God, you know, I mean, I don't spend hours talking to my essential oils, but I do interact with them, and I've had amazing success with them, just amazing. So I pass that on because they're not just a dalliance. They're not just a hobby. They're serious companions in our life purpose.
Yay! I'm so glad. I've got one in front of me. I'm going to start talking to my essential oils, and now I know how to use them because I just thought you smelled them and that was that. But no, that's not it. You don't just smell them right out of the bottle. You can see if you like them that way, right? But that's not how you're going to get the benefit. And I was wondered, well, that doesn't make me do anything or feel anything. So now I understand. I really do. Is there any aspect?
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I want you to speak.
Oh, I just wanted to say that one of the little toys that I use is a diffuser pendant. And if I'm driving in traffic or I'm going to do a talk or a workshop or something, I make sure that I have dropped peppermint oil drops on the felt that's inside the little pendant diffuser. And I can sniff that on the freeway. I can sniff that at a break. I can do something. And I can maintain energy and clarity of my mind. And I can tell you, after I had a drive to San Jose last January that was a 7-hour drive in the pouring rain, and I got there and I thought, oh, I am a rag. How am I possibly going to teach a workshop or give a talk? And I just thought, oh. And, you know, I don't like to do coffee and Red Bull and all that stuff because that just jacks up your system and gives you caffeine that your body's going to have to deal with later. But the peppermint diffuser, I had a little diffuser with me, and I diffused the peppermint while I was getting ready, and then I had a little pendant, and I was fine. I mean, having driven and been just exhausted, all of a sudden I was revived, and that was probably the biggest test I've ever had with peppermint, and it was just amazing. So, yes. I recommend that.
Yeah, I have introduced diffuser jewelry and a car diffuser, aromatherapy. Little diffusers that plug into the vent. I've introduced them to my clinics, and oh my gosh, they do so well. And there's so many beautiful ones, and they're usually stainless steel, and they last, and they're just beautiful. So I do necklaces and bracelets and car diffusers, and people just love them, and I think that's a great way. So I'm happy to hear that you're using them. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you wanted to tell us about this marvelous book, The Healing Art of Essential Oils, before we finish up?
Well, just that there is a lot of research going on around the world in Italy and Japan for anti-cancer help with frankincense and myrrh, and that the allopathic medicine, Western medicine, is now beginning to use peppermint for childbirth. The odors of peppermint in hospitals, they're starting to use other lavender, for example, and some other essential oils in packets for healing for people in the OR. They are starting to use and incorporate essential oils and what they can do into the Western medicine procedures so that they are beginning to combine what we are learning about essential oils and their power with what we go through and how we whether surgery or childbirth or anything that is traumatic to the body. So I'm loving that marriage between science and art, between alternative and ordinary medicine. So I think that is great, and I would encourage people to, if you have any interest in essential oils, to buy this book, because I meticulously and carefully constructed it to be an education, to be an entertainment, and to be a healer. The book will help heal you, and it's not that expensive. You can get it in many places for $13, $14. You can get it Target online or Walmart online, and it's something that will last you for the rest of your life. And I wish everybody the opportunity to open their lives to the beauty of essential oils and to incorporate them in their life so that their dependency is less on pharmaceuticals and more on natural products.
Wow, thank you. I'm so so happy that I got to meet you and so excited about having this book on my bookshelf as a reference for so many things so I can learn from you and begin to expand on this, that this art that I am exposed to on a daily basis and really did not know much about. So I thank you tremendously for that. That's great. And with my knowledge, I can educate others. So it's perfect. It's perfect. So thank you. We've been talking with Dr. Kat Young about her book, The Healing Art of Essential Oils. And do you have a website, real quick?
I do. It's called healingartofessentialoils.com. The resources tab is filled with information and links for everyone so they know how to use it. And there you have it. Just stay in touch and use essential oils.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. And I wish you a wonderful day. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You are so very welcome. So we are out of time for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. Randy is RANDIGFINE.com. And I hope you will join me next time for more wonderful shows on A Fine Time for Healing. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.